You're listening to Business English Pod, the Business English podcast for professionals on the move.
Hello, and welcome back to Business English Pod. My name's Edwin, and I'll be your host for the second part of our look at training and development. Good training is crucial for any company, big or small. How can we expect people to do a good job if they don't have the right knowledge, skills, and tools? Providing employees with these tools is a key function of training. And training is what we'll be talking about today. We'll be looking at some important vocabulary and collocations related to training. Remember, collocations are natural combinations of words that native speakers commonly use. There are no clear rules to collocation, only patterns. When you learn a new word, you should try to learn what other words are used with it. For example, you might think that crime is a useful word to know, but it will be difficult to use if you don't know that we usually use the verb commit before it, as in commit a crime. In the last episode, you heard many useful training collocations. We listened to Jeff, who works in HR at an engineering firm, talk with David, who had just given a presentation on new approaches to training. We heard Jeff explain how his company wants to improve their learning and development program. Today, David will explain more about learner-centered training. As you listen, try to answer the following questions. 1. What is a traditional approach to training? 2. What does David say another company has recently started? 3. What is David's biggest piece of advice for Jeff?
Are you thinking about taking a learner-centered approach or something more traditional?
You mean, what do you mean?
Well, a traditional approach might be training a group in a classroom, but a learner-centered approach would be something more like the example I mentioned in my presentation, using a learning management system and incorporating more computer-based training and social media.
And that's more the self-paced type of learning?
Yes. And I just spoke with another fellow at a firm like yours. They've started a pilot project in one of their departments. After trying several other training models, they're really curious to see if the overall effectiveness improves with e-learning.
That might be someone I should talk to. Are they doing knowledge-based training, or is it more about core proficiencies?
You'd have to ask him. But I do know that they're evaluating results by looking at a few key performance indicators. And whether or not you go with self-directed learning, you should use some good KPIs to evaluate the program. That's my biggest piece of advice. Oh, that's the guy, in the green shirt there.
Super. I'll go see what he has to say. Thanks again.
Jeff is not exactly sure what David is talking about.
You mean, what do you mean?
Well, a traditional approach might be training a group in a classroom, but a learner-centered approach would be something more like the example I mentioned in my presentation, using a learning management system and incorporating more computer-based training and social media.
David explains that a learner-centered approach uses things such as a learning center management system, which is software used to deliver training or educational programs. In the computer world, we sometimes hear of other types of management systems, like content management systems used to create content for websites. Jeff seems to understand David's explanation.
And that's more the self-paced type of learning.
If a program is self-paced, it means that people can do it at their own speed. It's a common characteristic of computer-based learning management systems. A related expression is self-directed, which means the learner manages not just how fast he learns, but also what he learns. Let's listen to some more examples of these expressions.
Self-paced courses are great when workers have different amounts of time to devote to professional development.
Because she is too busy to attend classes, Carol enjoys taking self-paced online training.
To improve his English, Raj chose self-directed learning over the courses held at company headquarters.
David confirms that he's talking about self-paced learning and then recalls another conversation.
Yes, and I just spoke with another fellow at a firm like yours. They've started a pilot project in one of their departments. After trying several other training models, they're really curious to see if the overall effectiveness improves with e-learning.
A pilot project is a project meant as a test or trial to find out if an idea, a system, or a procedure will work well. You might also hear that word pilot in combination with program, as in pilot program, which means basically the same thing. Pilot projects are used in all different fields, as you can hear in these examples.
The pilot program wasn't as successful as we had hoped, so we didn't run it for a second year.
Our HR manager launched a pilot project to find out if productivity would drop if the company allowed telecommuting.
The company that David is talking about wants to see if overall effectiveness improves with e-learning. In other words, is e-learning a better way of training people? Does it produce better outcomes? Is it better for the company? Listen to the expression used in this example.
What do you think of the new CEO?
Well, I know some people criticize him, but his overall effectiveness as a leader is great.
Jeff is curious about the other company.
That might be someone I should talk to. Are they doing knowledge-based training, or is it more about core proficiencies?
Knowledge-based training teaches and tests information as opposed to skills. More generally, if something is knowledge-based, it means that it requires people to use data and information to do their work. This adjective often combines with economy to give us the expression knowledge-based economy. You'll hear that expression and one other in these two sentences.
In a knowledge-based economy, people must be able to quickly analyze huge amounts of information.
Marilyn thought that employees should be improving their skills rather than taking knowledge-based courses.
Different from a knowledge-based course would be one that teaches and tests core proficiencies, or the basic skills and aptitudes that a person needs to do a particular job. Earlier in the conversation, Jeff mentioned a skills gap, and that might be why he's curious here about core proficiencies. A skills gap would mean that the applicants don't have core proficiencies. Here are some other examples of this phrase in use.
All employees are required to pass a test of core proficiencies before taking on a new position.
Many international companies list English language ability as a core proficiency of its managers.
David's not sure about exactly what they're training people for, but he does know how they're assessing the program.
You'd have to ask him, but I do know that they're evaluating results by looking at a few key performance indicators. And whether or not you go with self-directed learning, you should use some good KPIs to evaluate the program. That's my biggest piece of advice. Oh, that's the guy, in the green shirt there.
To evaluate results is to look at the impact or effect that something had. For a training program, that could mean deciding if it met the learning objectives. Evaluate, more generally, means to look at something or someone and determine what is good and what is not so good about it. What does it do well, and what doesn't it do well? Listen to some more examples of this word being used with other objects.
A detailed survey helped the trainers evaluate the results of their seminar.
The managers at Fimosoft evaluate their employees' performance every 6 months.
The company that David is talking about is using key performance indicators, which are specific and measurable things that show whether a business or department is meeting its goals. Also called KPIs, these indicators are very useful, and David stresses their importance. Here are some specific examples of key performance indicators.
The key performance indicator for the tech support team was a 50% reduction in complaints.
The new training program used change in employee productivity as a key performance indicator.
Now, it's your turn to practice. We're going to review some of the vocabulary and collocations we've covered in this episode. You'll hear a series of sentences with a word blanked out or replaced with a beep. Repeat the whole sentence, saying the missing word. For example, if you hear,
"Our manager used a variety of tools to measure the overall of the new training program,"
you can say,
"Our manager used a variety of tools to measure the overall effectiveness of the new training program."
After each response, we'll play the correct answer. Let's begin.
After their first year, employees are expected to demonstrate all core answer. After their first year, employees are expected to demonstrate all core proficiencies.
Employees have a lot of flexibility with a self training program. Answer. Employees have a lot of flexibility with a self-directed training program.
We launched a pilot to test the new training software. Answer. We launched a pilot project to test the new training software.
We measured the success of our program with several key indicators. Answer. We measured the success of our program with several key performance indicators.
That's all for this lesson on discussing training plans. We've learned a range of vocabulary and collocations for discussing training that will be useful across a wide range of business situations. Be sure to check out the study notes in the Learning Center at www.businessenglishpod.com. There you'll find detailed vocabulary explanations, additional practice activities, and full transcripts of this and other episodes. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.